And both here at Great Neck and at Seaboard Road, can we please give a warm Wave Church family welcome to our LA campus pastor, Pastor Israel Campbell in the house. Come on now.
Awesome. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look so good today. Turn to your other neighbor that was your second favorite and say, I hope you look good today too. Awesome. You can be seated. What a privilege and honor to be here. We fought to get here. Goody and I have had quite a journey. It's kind of like planes, trains, and automobiles. Those are not pillow moments, so that is always good. We did, though, fly a day earlier. We were supposed to fly yesterday, but because of the storm, we decided that it would be better to fly out on Friday. And so we flew from LA, which was 70 degrees, sunny, into Detroit, which was like 12 degrees. And they said, no, the flight is canceled from Detroit to Norfolk. So we said, okay, we'll just stay at the hotel there at the airport, catch a flight in the morning. And we went over to the Westin, felt like Joseph and Mary because there was no room in the Westin. Okay, you'll get it later, but first service really laughed, just so you know that. Then in the morning, they said, all the flights are booked. We can't get you on. Stand by. There were 40 people waiting for each flight. So somewhere along the way, talking to Pastor Mark Hopkins, he suggested that maybe we could drive from Detroit. And so we rented a car and started to drive this journey and got to Pittsburgh. And they said, hey, actually, the road is closed. There are people that are stranded on the highway, so you can't go. So then, freaking out, we were in Pittsburgh, decided to call the airline in Pittsburgh, see if we could fly from Pittsburgh to Norfolk. They said, you're lucky, we have two seats available. And I was like, I'll take it. And they said, okay, here's your flight itinerary. You fly from Pittsburgh to Detroit, and then from Detroit to Norfolk. Yes. Told my wife that, and she said, why did you listen to an Australian in the first place about how to drive? But we got here because you made us go to Detroit. I feel like Eminem, like I went to Detroit back from LA to Detroit. Okay, anyhow, I'll just stick to my message. So good to be here. Goody Goodloe is with me. He's preaching tonight, and you are in for a treat. Goody is a full-time itinerant speaker. Speaks at major conferences, universities, and churches across the United States, but Wave Church LA is actually his home. So every Sunday, his family attends Wave Church, and when he gets a chance and he's not traveling, he's at Wave Church, helps us with team things and stuff. And what I love about Goody is not only is he an incredible preacher and communicator, but he always lets me know, hey, Pastor, I'm out of town, or I'm in this city. And just a few weeks ago, I got this call that said, hey, I'm going to be out of town preaching at this place. And I just said, you know, the pastor thing, go get them, Tiger, all those kind of things, tear it up. And on Sunday morning, I came to church and I saw him setting up chairs. And I was like, hey, I thought you were supposed to be preaching somewhere this morning. He goes, yeah, I am, but it's not till 11. So I thought I would come here first and make sure Wave Church LA was doing good before I went out and preached there. So don't you love that kind of heart and that kind of attitude? So let's get right into the text. If you get a chance, turn with me to the book of Judges. Book of Judges, following Joshua, Judges chapter 9, verses 50 through 55. While you're getting there, it's so awesome to be streaming to Seaboard and Richmond. Sorry about the snow, but we're glad you are online. And probably it's because Kino got another tattoo, and that's why it snowed so much. But anyhow, we'll just keep on getting into the text. Judges chapter 9, verses 50 through 55 says that Abimelech attacked the town of Thebez and captured it. But there was a strong tower inside the town, and all the men and women, the entire population, fled to it. They barricaded themselves in and climbed up to the roof of the tower. Abimelech followed them to attack the tower. But as he prepared to set fire to the entrance, a woman on the roof dropped a millstone that landed on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. He quickly said to his young armor bearer, draw your sword and kill me. Don't let it be said that a woman killed Abimelech. So the young man ran him through with the sword, and he died. When Abimelech's men saw that he was dead, they disbanded and returned to their homes. Father God, we thank you for an awesome day so far. Incredible praise and worship. Finding out all the things that Wave Church is doing and an opportunity to be consistent with our giving. And God, I just pray right now that you would illuminate your word to us. We thank you that it's your word that increases our faith. It's your word, if we hide it in our heart, it'll keep us from sinning against you. Holy Spirit, custom make this message for the viewers online, those at Seaboard, those at Richmond, wherever we are right now. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would customize it for what we're dealing with so that we would leave changed because of an encounter with you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Come on, somebody say amen. How many of you, and I can talk with authority on this because of the adventure of us getting here this morning, but how many of you remember those old books, Choose Your Own Adventure? Come on, anybody remember that Choose Your Own Adventure? And you got to choose what happened. Well, this morning we're going to have Choose Your Own Sermon Title. Again, 9 o'clock, made a little bit more response than you did, but that's okay. I won't be bitter. So you get to choose your own title. That's kind of cool, right? And so I was raised in church. My dad was a pastor. And so, you know, he would have titled after that text where the millstone is dropped on Abimelech's head, he would have named it something like the Doctrine of Prophetic Release. And he would have kind of said it in King James and kind of rough. So just say that with me. Say the doctrine of prophetic release. You gotta say it with some oomph. That was kind of weak. Come on. So that's one of your titles. Maybe you're old school. Maybe you're like, yeah, I want some good teaching. I need doctrine. I need that. So you can choose that title. Or the other one is maybe you have kids and they love Disney and they love all the songs that come with Disney. And that title would be, I would title it Let It Go. So come on. Why don't you just sing that with me real quick? Come on. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Okay. And then the third title is, you know, we pastored in North Carolina for 10 years. Now we get the great responsibility of getting to launch Wave Los Angeles. And so I'm trying to be hip, you know, because I'm going from North Kakalaka to L.A. And so I'm working on everything, trying to be cool and hip. And so I'm even working on my titles to be more, you know, L.A. because they're unchurched. So I saw a sign that said this, and I thought this would be a great title for my message. Come on, point to your neighbor and say, drop it like it's hot. Come on, say, drop it like it's hot. So Seaboard, Clayton, I'm going to need your help on this, but and online, maybe you can tweet what your choice is, but number one is the Doctrine of Prophetic Release, and if that's the title you want me to preach this morning, just raise your hand right now, the Doctrine of Prophetic Release. Yes, one person, awesome. Then now, maybe we'll get more because of parents and stuff like that, but maybe you want the title Let It Go. You want to sing with your kids, you want to kind of sing during the service. How many of you want Let It Go? Come on, Let It Go. Yes, yeah, lots of mothers and people, hands up. And then finally, it would be my LA title, would be Drop It Like It's Hot. Would you please raise your hand? Okay, Pastor Steve, I didn't choose the title. Your congregation chose the title. So push your neighbor and say, drop it like it's hot. I love this passage of scripture because I believe we can all relate to it. This is a story of a town and a woman that has been, in a sense, entrapped by the enemy. And instead of giving up, and instead of throwing in the towel, and instead of what has happened in the past, because if you see just a few verses earlier, Abimelech has already captured the town of Shechem. Did you hear that, Joe Riddle? You're not the only one that can pretend like they know Hebrew. You just add a little laha, and it always sounds like you have authority. So they attacked or surrounded Shechem, burned it down, killed the people. Now they're at Thebez. But here is a town and a woman who, even though the enemy is around them, they do not give up. They do not surrender, but they actually have what they have and release it. They prophetically, come on.
on, release it. They let it go. They drop it like it's hot, and that stone kills the enemy. And I came through Detroit and Pittsburgh, back to Detroit, all the way to Norfolk to tell somebody today that I don't care if the enemy has been around you and is surrounding you right now. 2016 is going to be your year, and the enemy is going to be defeated when we begin to release some things. I wish we could just get a couple hundred people this morning at the 11 a.m. service that would say, this is my year. The enemy is not going to win, but in the name of Jesus, he is going to be defeated. Push your neighbor and say, release. Come on, sing it with me. Say,
come on. You got, when I go like this, that's a setup for let it go. Come on, one more time. Or say to your neighbor, drop it like it's hot. I love this text. And I love that she released something. And I actually wrote something down. I wrote, our ability to survive and have victory is directly related to what we learn to release. I'm going to say it again. Our ability to survive and have victory is directly related to what we learn to release. I'm a little bit of a nerd, and I can admit that. But when I read texts like this, I love to read commentaries, and I love to study stuff and look up things and things. And so as I looked it up, it was interesting because millstones were actually used in the olden times and even up to today. And what it would be is these millstones would work, an upper millstone and a bottom millstone, and they would work together and they would grind out the wheat to become flour that then they would use to cook their meals. And so there were all kinds of millstones. There were city millstones that were kind of for the city. And we even see Old Testament Samson. Remember when they took out his vision? He was tied to a millstone. And so millstones not only were known for a city, but then you could have a personal millstone. And that personal millstone was actually something that was valuable. Old Testament law says you couldn't use it for a down payment or security for something, because that wouldn't be right, because everybody needed to have their own millstone. And so this story, so I started reading about the millstones and how big a town millstone was either from 100 to 400 pounds. A personal one was either like 10 pounds to 20 pounds. And then I started studying towers, and I started looking at how tall towers were. And if it had a Babylonian kind of background, it could get up to 150 feet. If it had a Persian architect, those ones were found up to 300 feet. In fact, archaeologists have found ones that were probably in the time of Nehemiah that were close to that 300 feet tower. And so I started kind of, I was fascinated by that. And I wanted to kind of think like, okay, what was this story like? How big was this millstone? How tall was she? How high was she when she dropped it? So I just started figuring out some stuff that it probably wasn't the city millstone, because that weighed, you know, at least a minimum of 200 to 400 pounds. And the Bible says she was unnamed. If she would have lifted up a 400-pound millstone, we would have named that lady. That was She-Ra, Princess of Power. And then towers, you know, all of that just, why was she up there with a millstone? Like, hey, we're under attack, grab your millstone. What was she thinking? Well, this could be a while, and, you know, Taco Tuesday's coming up, and, you know, can't not make the tacos. What's going on? And so I do believe it was tacos, because tacos, I'm now from L.A., that is the will of God. I will stand in line for a taco. But anyhow, so here she is. She's up there, and she drops this millstone. So, not only do I want to know, like, what the size is and what the height is, but, you know, I really want to know. There's the things that, like, just kind of mess me up is I want to know the gravitational potential energy that was in that. Right? Don't you all want to know the gravitational potential energy? You know, GPE. Come on, any math nerds in here with me, the GPE. Come on, you down with GPE? Yeah, you know me. So I did some studies, the gravitational potential energy, and you can see that it's the PE equals the weight times the height equals the MGH. And so then I had to convert the pounds to kilograms. I don't know why I converted, maybe because of Pastor Mark Hopkins, but I did the pounds to the kilograms, and then you start to do things. And when you do the math, you find out the falling parameters, and then you get the height in meters is 45.72, mass in kilometers, in kilograms rather, is 5.67. So then you find out that the speed of impact is 29.94 meters per second, or 107.77 kilometers per hour. You don't want to know that. You want to know that it was 65 miles an hour when it hit, and it took exactly 3 seconds, and the energy at impact was 2,540.48 joules. What I'm trying to say is that it started with a small little rock, but because of her releasing it, there is a thing called gravity that actually makes what you release more powerful. And I'm here to tell you that if you would begin to let go, if you would begin to release, if you would begin to say, come on, God, I am dropping this thing like it's hot, God can take that small thing and turn it into a weapon of mass destruction. The earth has been created that if you release, it gets stronger. Come on, push your neighbor and say, drop it like it's hot. Come on, push your other neighbor and say, let it go. Come on, say, the doctrine of prophetic release. I begin to think about different things that we have to release. And here she is. She's up there on the tower. Picture it with me. She's there on the tower. She has a millstone. She sees the enemy. And she's looking at this millstone, and something inside of her, the Holy Spirit is saying, come on, release that millstone, and I can direct it to defeat the enemy. Yeah, there's all kinds of soldiers there, but if you will release it and let me do what I need to do, I will direct that millstone. And it may take 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, but if you will release it, I will aim it, and it will hit the enemy. And because the enemy is defeated, it will cause you to have victory. And this is your year, but you have to be able to let it go. But could you imagine her thinking about, yeah, but what about Taco Tuesday? Do you remember Thanksgiving? We all came. I guess they didn't have Thanksgiving, but you know what I'm saying. Remember when the whole family came? This thing means something to me. This thing is, this was this, and there's some things in our past that we have to be able to release so that we can have the victory in the future. We moved to LA about 2 years ago, and in my mind, have you ever pictured what it's going to look like in your mind, and then reality hits? You know, so in my mind, LA, I had these things. And one of the thoughts that I had in my mind is I was actually abandoned as a kid at 9 months old. And my biological mom, who I've never met in person, lives in LA. And so I had this in my mind that I was going to be preaching, like, you know, and at the end of the service, she was going to get saved, and we were going to come up, and she was going to get saved, and she was going to say, I'm, you know, Luke, I'm your father, but it would be different because it would be like, Israel, I'm your mother, and so I had this picture, and then, you know, we'd hug, and we'd be on Oprah, you know, I had it all in my mind, and all of a sudden, almost a year ago to this week, I got an email on Facebook, and I guess her family had been stalking me. And so they saw that we moved to Redondo Beach, California, and my biological mom actually died. And so they reached out to me and said, hey, I know this is weird, but your mom just died, and what triggered us to get a hold of you is we saw that you live in Redondo Beach, and that's actually where her remains are right now, is at the mortuary in Redondo Beach. And it was weird because it was like so close, yet so far away. And then they wanted me to do her, they asked me, would you do her funeral? Which was pretty weird to be doing your mom who you've never met's funeral. Awkward. And so I'm asking questions about her to do the funeral good, But at the same time, I'm asking questions about her so I can know more about her. And in my mind, I knew she abandoned me because of addiction problems. So in my mind, I figured maybe she was, you know, still struggling with those things on the street and all of these things. And then to come to find out, she had a car. Then I found out she had an iPhone. Then to find out she had Facebook on the iPhone. She could have contacted me, and I'm now close enough, I'm in the same city. And to tell you the truth, I started to kind of get upset about it. I started to get a little bit frustrated. Like, God, we moved all the way here, and she dies in the same city I'm living in? What's up with that? I don't quite get this, God. And to tell you the truth, I started to kind of get frustrated. Kind of even started to have a little attitude. Kind of upset about things because of something that had happened in my past. And I kind of wanted to hold it on to how I was feeling. And I kind of wanted to hold it on because sometimes those things that are in our past, they become a safety blanket. They become something as a crutch, and we want to hold on to them. But that lady, no matter how much it hurt, no matter how difficult it was, she learned to trust God and release it. And I'm telling you, if you're going to possess what God has for you in 2016, you're going to have to be able to release what happened in 1976, what happened into the year 2000, come on, even what happened last year. And some of you here today are going to leave this place changed because you'll go into this new year saying, you know what, God, I'm going to release it. I may not understand it. I may not get it. I may not know what to do, but I am going to let it go. I am going to let you be God and watch what God can do in your life because you release it. Come on, push your neighbor and say, let it go. Come on, push your other neighbor and say, you got to release it. You know, not only do we have to release the negative things or the tough things in our life, sometimes we got to even let go of victories. In fact, churches across America today, unfortunately, are in the process of closing. Because why they're closing today is because something happened many years ago and they've held on to that program or they've held on to that style and they say, you know what? We're not going to release this. But sometimes for you to have the victory, you even have to let go of the things that were successful in the past. And here she is with this millstone that had provided meals, that had brought community together, that had brought provision, but she had to be able to release what used to bring her victory. But then to say, God, I know you're alive. I know I can trust you. I know my future is better than my past. I thank God for what you did with this millstone. But you know what? I believe you have better for me. I believe my best is still yet to come. And so you know what, God? I'm going to trust you. I'm going to release. And no matter how successful it was in the past, I am trusting you that my best is still yet to come. Come on, she released it. I love that because business models, we can see companies that no longer are around. Blockbuster is not doing too well right now. You still got VHS, you're going to be in trouble trying to get the latest release. Why? Why is that? Because the model has changed. And if you just hold on to VHS, you're going to miss what was happening. No matter how many VHS units they sold in the past, they're not being produced anymore. That's a business model that sometimes we can hold on to the way we used to do things. Come on. We hold on to things that we used to do instead of saying, God, I am your vessel. I'm willing to trust you. And even if it was successful in the past, that's okay. I'll let it go. I'll drop it like it's hot. I'll release it because I understand my best is still yet to come. Come on, point to your neighbor and say, let it go. You know, we pastored North Carolina for 10 years and, you know, really felt from Pastor Steve and Pastor Sharon talking about launching Wave LA. And here we were, had been in North Carolina for 10 years. And there's a moment of insecurity. There's a moment of, can I do this? I don't know what tomorrow looks like. Right now looks pretty good. Right now, we're traveling. Right now, we have two campuses. Right now, people are getting saved. And we could have, Rachel and I could have held on to it. But because we released and said, you know what? It's really not ours anyhow. Before, we were just kind of pastors trying to do it on our own. And we said, you know what? We're going to release this. We want to get ourselves under authority and be under Pastor Steve and Pastor Sharon. And so again, we had to release. And there's a part of you that wants to hold on to those things. But because we released, now here we are in LA, and LA is growing. LA is thriving. People are getting saved. But in North Carolina, the church under Pastor Adam and Pastor Marlise has even grown more and have even more influence, all because at a moment of release. I'm telling you, when you begin to release, it not only affects you, but it can affect everyone around you. Here's a woman who says, I'm going to release. Here's a woman that is not named and has no title. It's not about her. It's not about what she can get notoriety for. But she says, God, I'm trusting you with my future. And because she made that decision, not only was she set free, but everyone in the tower was set free. And everyone in that city was set free. And everyone that was in that region was set free. I'm here to tell you that 2016 is going to be your best year if you will just say, God, I'm giving you control and letting go. Come on, somebody say amen. Come on, Great Neck, can you say amen? Richmond online, can you say amen? Awkward moment. Come on, push your neighbor and say, time to release. Come on, say, let it go. Come on, say, drop it like it's hot. I was thinking about this, and I started to study the word millstone, and it's interesting that in Revelations, millstone is actually a symbolic of prophetic words. I loved that, and obviously Pastor Steve is in that groove right now, and it's so awesome to see Pastor Joe this morning just say, hey, this person, Ashby, and speak a prophetic word. And there is power in releasing prophetic words. In a sense, here's a woman symbolically saying, God, I believe you can do the impossible. Because really, to try to aim a rock from 300 feet isn't as easy as it sounds. With all these people around, to hit the one strategic person on the head, the odds of that are pretty bleak. But I believe, like the New Testament scripture speaking of millstones is prophetic, I believe there was a prophetic release in that of, you know what? It's going to hit the enemy. You know what? This rock is going to hit Abimelech's head. You know what's going to happen with this rock? It's going to kill the enemy, and the enemy is going to be defeated. There are times in our life where we're surrounded by the enemy, and we have to learn how to release the prophetic word over that situation. See, we might be feeling sick in our body, and the enemy has surrounded us, and we have to learn how to say that by his stripes I am healed. We have to learn how to say Jesus went throughout the entire town healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. I'm just going to release this prophetic word over my family that we're going to be healed. Sometimes you're struggling financially, and you have to begin to release. Not that I'm broke, not that I can't afford it. Sometimes you have to be prophetic and say, you know what? He is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. Sometimes there's an attack against your kids, and we don't just say, oh, Hercules, Hercules. Come on. Sometimes we got to declare over them that they're the head and not the tail, that they're above and not beneath. And some of you have been attacked already in 2016, and I'm here to tell you it's time to lay a millstone on the enemy's head with the prophetic, increasing prophetic word that says, oh yeah, greater is he that is in me than anything that is in the world. Come on, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. As for me and my house, come on, we will serve the Lord. I wish for just 10 seconds somebody would lift up their hands, lift up their voice, and begin to prophesy over their family, over their school, over their business. Come on. High five your neighbor and say, drop it like it's hot. You can be seated. Come on. Every Sunday at 6 a.m., you know, I go and I practice my message, and I go to this place. It's called Rocket Ship Park, and it's in Torrance, California, and it overlooks all of L.A. So I can see the beach cities. I can see Santa Monica. As I go across, I can see Redondo Beach, Hermosa Beach, Lawndale. I can go ahead and see Hawthorne. As I move, I can start to see Inglewood. I can begin to see the city of Los Angeles. Over to my far right, I can begin to see the Hood. I can begin to see Compton. I can begin to see different things. And every Sunday morning, I am right now preaching to millions of people. No, they're not all coming to Wave Church LA yet. But I am preaching to millions when I practice my message. And the occasional jogger gets a little scared because here I am. Drop it like it's hot. You shall be saved. On the count of three, raise your hand. One, two, three. Wave it high enough and long enough so I can see it. Yeah, I see that hand over there. I see that hand over there. Oh, yeah, I see those hands over there. You know, sometimes the Bible says to speak those things that aren't as though they are. So here she was being prophetic. I'm not holding on to this thing. I'm not going to hold on I am going to release it prophetically and say, God, I can't control the outcome, but what I can do is put your word in and release it and let you do the rest. Can't you see this movie? I can't wait to get in heaven, see it in 4K. Come on, 3D glasses. I want the camera to like be a GoPro on Abimelech's head. So Abimelech looks up and this rock is kind of going to the left, going to the right. Can't you see him kind of ducking, kind of trying to get away? And it doesn't matter, because what happens is it still hits his head and it causes his death. I'm here to tell you, come on, let's begin to prophesy over our church. Let's begin to prophesy over our communities. Let's begin to prophesy over our family. That, come on, 2016 is going to be our best year. Come on, somebody say amen. Come on, sing it with me. Say, come on, I've been preaching the whole time. You didn't have that cue. Come on, one more time. Made me feel better. Come on, say, drop it like it's hot. Say it like the Cookie Monster. Say, doctrine of prophetic release. I love this, and we're going to get ready to close in just a second. But this year, I just felt impressed to tell you that, you know, even for us getting here, the obstacles and the difficulties, I don't take that lightly. I almost feel like there was a word for somebody here, and the enemy tried as much as he could to keep that word from being able to get here to give to you. And I don't believe we're here by accident. I don't believe that flight got canceled and then we had to drive to Pittsburgh and then come back to Detroit. You know what I believe? I believe there has been opposition, and the enemy has tried to surround you and tried to destroy you and your family. But I came all the way from LA, and it was planes, trains, and automobiles, to tell you that your best is still yet to come, and the enemy is going to be destroyed. We're going to drop some millstones this year. There's going to be some enemy defeated this year. You're not going to go into this year the same way you came in. You might have been surrounded. You might have looked like there was no chance for victory, but I'm here to tell you, it is your year. It is your moment. It is your time, and your best is still yet to come. I wonder if we could just get some folks that would begin to lift up their hands and lift up their voice and begin to release it right now and say, God, you're in control. Hallelujah. High five your neighbor and say, drop it like it's hot. Worship team is coming up here. Pastor Clayton is going ahead and closing up with Seaboard. I want to pray for some people today. Number one, if you would say this, you would say, Israel, there's some things that I've been hurt by and I've been holding on, and I'm going to release it today. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Say, yep, I've been holding on to some stuff. I'm going to release it. Amen. Father God, right now we declare release in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, as they release it, you're going to turn that thing into a weapon of mass destruction. It's going to destroy the enemy's plots, plans, and intentions. Those of you who would say, you know what? I've been holding on to some past victories, and they were great, but it's almost like I'm unable to move forward because I'm still trying to do methods in ways that I always did it. And today you'd say, you know what, I'm going to release that today. Just raise your hand. Just want to pray with you. Just raise your hand. Father God, I just thank you. Right now, we're going to release some even some victories, even some good things, and say, God, you were faithful, but we thank you that your mercies are new every morning. God, we thank you that you're going to do something new. And then I just really feel strong that there are some of you that you've been saying negative words over your circumstances. You've actually been saying, I can't do it. I can't finish this. I can't afford this. I don't have the time for this. I don't have the energy for this. And today you say, no, we're not going to allow that in my house. We're not going to allow that confession. I'm going to start declaring God's word. I'm going to start declaring prophetic words over my family, over my community, over my household. And that's you. You say, come on, just raise your hand right now. Father God, I thank you right now for a prophetic word, not pathetic, but prophetic, that what we say is powerful, it is mighty. We release it, but you do the rest. We release your word, and you are faithful to follow through and have your word come to action in Jesus' name. You know, the last chapter in that story, if you keep on reading the end of that story, going into the next chapter, it says something that's very interesting. It actually says that for the next 42 years, the children of Israel had peace. Single lady makes a decision to release. Unnamed lady makes a decision to release. It not only affects her, it affects her family, it affects her town, it affects her tribe, which eventually affects the entire nation for 42 years. More time in peace than the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. The power of releasing can change your life and your purpose. And it doesn't only affect you, but it can affect everyone around. You know, I was a pastor's kid, I told you. Raised in church, my dad died when I was 16. About that time, I just became rebellious, started doing my own thing. Started holding on to my own millstones, and never forget, my life was so messed up. I was suicidal. I was depressed, and somebody invited me to church because they said, Israel, you need Jesus. And I looked at them like, I've been to church. I was raised in church. And they were like, then you need to come back because you've got issues. And I'll never forget that Sunday night I went to church and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I rededicated my life, and my life has changed. Immediately after that, I went to Bible school, and in Bible school, I met Rachel. And Rachel was actually dating somebody else. She was engaged to somebody else. But because I got saved and went to Bible college, then she sat next to me. And she was like, you can get with this or you can get with that. And we all know who she got with. So then we get married, and then we have three kids, Phoebe, Chloe, and Silas. And now we go from North Carolina. We get in ministry, and we go from North Carolina to L.A. And now people in L.A. are getting saved, and their lives are getting transformed, all because of a decision that I made that seemed like it was small at one moment. But the ripple effect is just like this lady letting go of the millstone. It begins to gather their steam and changes people's destiny. And so today I want to pray with you. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is your day. This is your moment. And it's not only going to affect you, but it's going to impact everyone around you. And so if you would just close your eyes right where you're at, would you just bow your head right where you're at? Right now we're praying for people's lives to be changed. Right now we're praying that people will make a decision to accept Jesus Christ in their heart. You're going to let go of that sin. You're going to let go of that lifestyle. You're going to let go of your life and say, God, I'm not in control. I want you to be in control. And so if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you're like me this morning and you say, you know what? I'm backslidden. I'm away from God. But today I'm going to let go of where I've been, and I'm going to open up my heart and my life for Jesus Christ to come in it. And I believe it's not going to only impact me, but it's going to impact everyone around me. Because when Jesus deals with you, your sphere of influence will only increase and it will only make a ripple effect. And so I want you to be bold. Here is a woman that is unnamed and she was bold. She said, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm not going to hold on to this anymore. I'm going to release it because I believe my future is brighter. And can I tell you, young man? Can I tell you, business owner? Can I tell you, student? Your life is about to change. And right now, I want you to be bold. Right now, when I count to three, and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you're backslidden in a way, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand high enough and long enough so that I can see it. And you declare, I'm going to be like that woman. My life is going to be changed because I am going to release yesterday and get ready for eternity. Come on, one, come on, two, three. Right now, if that's just you, just lift up that hand high enough and long enough. Yeah, all the way in the balcony, yes. Over here on this side, yes, yes, yes. Over here, yes. Center section, yes. Come on, anybody over here, yes, I see that hand there. Anyone else? I'll give you just a few seconds. Come on, be like that woman. Be bold and say, today my life is changing. I'm going to release and give it to God. Awesome. All those hands up. I want to pray with you. Come on, everybody say this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I've messed up. I've held on to some sin. And today, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin. I'm releasing it and saying, Jesus, would you come into my heart? Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? Would you be my friend? Father God, I'm so glad that Jesus died for me, and on the third day he rose again so that I could have life and I could live an abundant life. From today on, I'm in your house. My future is brighter. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen.